Before I begin my message, I have a special announcement and request. Most of the times when I ask you something in my message, I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about it. But this is not one of those times. I'm going to make my request, and then I'm going to ask you to indicate if you'd be willing to help me with that request. Tonight, I've arranged for us to have a special guest. Jesus of Nazareth is going to be here. The one who left the glory of heaven to live among men for 33 some years. The one who had the form of God, the one who was equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Made in likeness of men, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He taught, he preached, made the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. He showed us the kingdom of God. For all those good things that he did, he was arrested, he was falsely tried, and they sentenced him to die. The reason they put him to death was that they thought he committed blasphemy. He claimed to be the Son of God. That was blasphemy in that day, and that was a crime worthy of death. And so they took him to a cross. They beat him. They plucked out his beard. They punched him and slapped him. They formed a crown of thorns and pushed it down on his head. They shamed him and ridiculed and mocked him. And then they hung him on a cross to die because he said he was the Son of God and they thought he was committing blasphemy. What they didn't realize was he was the Son of God. He was the one that God sent. He was the Messiah. He was the one that God anointed. He was the Christ. He was the one that God promised that he would send to pay for man's sins. He hung on that cross. He watched the Roman soldiers as they mingled at the foot of the cross. And he lifted his head to heaven and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He looked down and saw his mother at the foot of the cross. And one of his apostles, one of his disciples, the apostle John. And he said to his mom, I'm asking John to take care of you. And John, I want you to take care of my mom. And he entrusted his mother to the apostle John. As he hung on that cross, the sun went dark. And it hid itself for 3 hours. At the end of that darkness, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God! Why hast thou forsaken me?" And I don't have time to go into it this morning, but I think at that very moment, when the sun went dark, when God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son for the first time and only time in all eternity, because Jesus bore the sins of every person. He bore my sins, he bore your sins, and because he bore our sins, God the Father had to turn his back on his Son. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I believe at that very moment, Jesus paid the price for our sins. You see, the wages of sin is death, not physical death, but separation from God. And at that very moment, the Son of God was separated from God the Father, and he was separated from God the Father because he was paying for our sins. Amen. And then just before he died, he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Two of his disciples took him down from the cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. For 3 days and three nights, he laid in an earthly grave. But what we celebrate on Easter, we actually celebrate all year. Up from the grave, he arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Our Savior's in heaven this morning. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. Every time we fail, every time we fall, he pleads the blood to the Father and reminds the Father that his blood covered all our sins. If you're here this morning and you've never received what Jesus did for you on Calvary, if you've never received what we pictured in the Lord's Supper, if you've never received what I just talked about in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. This morning, I invite you to come to the Savior. He said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. His disciples later said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I encourage you to do it this morning. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So tonight, I've arranged for Jesus to be here. Here's my request. And again, I don't want you to just think about it. I'm going to ask you in a minute to do something to indicate if you'll help me with this. Here's my request. I need somebody to take Jesus tonight home after church. I need you to give him a good dinner, and I need you to give him a place to sleep. He's going to leave mid-morning tomorrow, and I'd like somebody to take him to breakfast and then to a store and buy him a new suit and a new shirt and a new pair of shoes and a tie. The church will pay you back for everything you spend, but I just want Jesus to know that we here at Fellowship Baptist Church love him, and we just want to, in a small way, thank him for everything that he's done for us. Now, if I could arrange for him to be here tonight, and if you'd be willing to take him home, give him a meal, give him a place to sleep, and then tomorrow morning take him to breakfast and then buy him a new suit and a new tie and a new pair of shoes, if you'd be willing to do that, I just want you to hold your hand up. If I could do that, would you be willing to take Jesus? Come on, hold it up so I can see it. Hold it up. Hold it up. If you'd be willing to do that, hold your hand up. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. You know, when I was younger, I'd read certain portions of Scripture and I had a hard time understanding what they meant. They didn't make sense to me. I questioned, God, what do you mean when you say this? Acts 13:2 is one of those scriptures where the Bible says, and they ministered to the Lord. That word minister means serve. How do you minister? How do you serve the Lord? He doesn't need anything. I mean, he's not here. I mean, I can't make him dinner. I can't give him a place to sleep. I can't buy him breakfast. I can't buy him a suit. And yet the Bible says there in Antioch, they ministered or served the Lord. Another scripture was Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, listen to this, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus was talking in that verse. And he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. I could understand if it says, ye shall be witnesses for me, but how can we be witnesses to him, unto him? I mean, he knows what the gospel is. He doesn't need us to witness to us, and he doesn't need the gospel because he never sinned. The only people that need the gospel is us sinners. Amen. Jesus was perfect, tempted in all points like as we, and yet he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 9:4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I thought, I don't read one thing in the Bible about Saul persecuting Jesus. Not one thing is said in the Bible about Saul doing anything to Jesus. He didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't try to trap Jesus like some of the other Pharisees did. He didn't try to use Jesus' words against him. He wasn't at the trial. There's no record that he was at the crowd, in the crowd at the foot of the cross. There's no record of anything that Saul did to persecute Jesus. Now, he did plenty to Christians. He stood by as they stoned Stephen. He did many things as his own testimony. By his own testimony, he told King Agrippa in Acts 26, I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I shut up saints in prison. I put them to death. I punished them. I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He persecuted Christians, but he never persecuted Christ. What did Jesus mean when he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What does the Bible says? And they ministered unto the Lord. What does the Bible mean when it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me? I didn't understand those verses. And then one day I was reading the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and the light bulb came on. I understood, and I knew exactly what God was talking about when he said, minister to the Lord in Acts chapter 13. I knew exactly what God was talking about when he said, witness unto me in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said to Saul, why persecutest thou me in Acts chapter 9? Because in Matthew chapter 25, two different times in that chapter, verses 40 and 45, here's what the Bible says. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it, unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Amen. Ye have done it unto me. Saul, you persecuted Christians. Who you were really persecuting was Jesus Christ. Because you did it unto them, you did it unto him. You shut up saints in prison, you were really putting Jesus in prison. You put them to death. Who you were really putting to death was Jesus. You punished them and compelled them to blaspheme. You weren't just doing it to them, you were doing it to Jesus. You persecuted them, but on the road to Damascus, what Jesus was telling you is as you persecuted them, you were really persecuting him. Now, what does that say about how we treat each other? I'm going to be very direct this morning. If we gossip about somebody, we're really gossiping about Jesus. Because he said, if you do it unto one of these, at least my brethren, you've done it unto me. If I'm unkind to somebody, I'm really being unkind to Jesus. If I hurt somebody, I'm really hurting Jesus. If I dislike somebody and make that dislike known, I'm really disliking Jesus. If I look down on somebody, it's not another person I'm looking down on. I'm looking down on Jesus. He said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. It ought to cause us to think different about how we treat one another. I would never gossip about Jesus, and neither would you. We would never be unkind to him. We would never do anything that would hurt him. We would never do anything that would show him in any way that we disliked anything about him. And we would never look down on Jesus. But I wonder how many times in our life Jesus would say, you've done it unto the one of these, the least of my brethren. You've done it unto me. Now, that also explains how we can minister to the Lord. I can't arrange for Jesus to be here tonight. I wish I could. I don't need a volunteer because I'd be selfish. I'd take him home for dinner. I'd give him a place to sleep. I'd take him out for breakfast. I'd take him to the store and buy him a new suit, new shirt, new tie, new pair of shoes. Your pastor would be selfish. He wouldn't give you that chance. But I can't arrange for him to be here tonight. He won't be here tonight. He's going to stay in heaven until that day he comes back to get us all at the right hand of God, pleading our case. But you know what? I can take him home. I can give him something to eat. I can give him a place to sleep. I can buy him breakfast. I can buy him a suit. You see, when we gather up food at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and we pass out 40 or 50 Christmas baskets. We're not just feeding the family. We're feeding our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, in that you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we take up a collection to help a family with their mortgage payment or help them with some medical expense, it's not really that family we're helping. Yeah, I mean, we're helping the family, but in reality, we're helping Jesus. Because he said, in that you've done it unto one of these, the least, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we go out on Sunday morning and we pick up a little boy or a little girl or a man or a woman and we bring them to church, we're not serving them. We're serving Jesus. When we go to a hospital and we pray and encourage somebody and pray with them and tell them the Lord knows what's going on, it's not them we're ministering to. We're ministering to Jesus. When we help a widow, it's not her, it's Jesus. When we open the Word of God and we teach the Bible and we preach the Bible, yeah, I know we listen, but we're doing it for Jesus. Because he said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so I ask the question this morning to every single one of us, every single one of us that a moment ago took the Lord's Supper, said, by taking the Lord's Supper, we know Jesus as our Savior. We remember what he did for us on Calvary. We remember what he did when he came out of the tomb. We remember what he's doing today as he sits at the right hand of God, our advocate. I ask every single person who took the Lord's Supper a moment ago, what have you done for Jesus lately? What have you done for him lately? At the beginning of the service, most of us raised our hands and said, hey, preacher, if you could get him here, I'll take him home. I'll feed him. I'll give him a place to sleep. I'll take him out to breakfast. I'll go buy him a new suit. Have you done that for anybody lately? Can't do it for Jesus, but I could do it for one of the least of these, his brethren. And he said, you do it unto them, you're doing it unto me. That's what real Christianity is. Yeah, it's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to fellowship together. It's wonderful to sing and be together in this place. But real Christianity takes place out there, where we take care and we love and we help one of these, the least of these, my brethren. And Jesus said, when you do it to them, you're doing it to me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that even though we can't be with you physically yet, one day we are. One day we're going to be with you physically forever in that place called heaven. But until that day, Father, we don't get to be in your presence. We can't do for you what we like to do. But Father, we really can. Because you told us that if we help somebody else, if we love somebody else, if we minister to somebody else, the least of these, my brethren, you said, you've done it unto me. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us seek out those people that need your help, your love, your kindness, your encouragement, and we would do for them what we'd like to do for you. Help us to do that this week. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here that don't know Christ. Oh, I pray that they could see the love that you had for them, not only in the Lord's Supper, But if they heard the gospel this morning, they could see the love that you had for them by sending your son to the cross. They could see the love that you had for them, Jesus, as you hung there and bore their sin. They could see the love that you had for them as you sat now at the right hand of the Father, pleading the blood for our every sin. And I pray, Father, if there's only one person here that's never received Christ, that in the next few moments, you would help them see their sin, the penalty for that sin, the fact that Jesus paid that penalty. And if they'd believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, call upon you, you would save them. If they'd walk the aisle in just a minute, we'd help them do that. So I pray, Father, you'd bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Convict us this morning. Help us to do what you want us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.